This is 1320 WILS. Great to have you here. Well, the Fed, of course, raising the interest rate, and we could see a lot more of that. What could the impact be, and why is the Fed adding to its balance sheet while doing this? Let's talk to someone who spent many years working there, Danielle DiMartino Booth with us, author of the brand new book, Fed Up, an insider's take on why the Federal Reserve is bad for America. Danielle, great to have you on WILS.
Happy to be here today.
Yeah, remind me, how what kind of work were you doing at the Fed when you were there?
I was basically the at the opposite end of the spectrum of an economist. I tracked all of the moves in the financial markets on behalf of the president of the Dallas Federal Reserve, Richard Fisher. So I was his eyes and ears on the markets.
Now, from what I've read, there's like $4 trillion on the Fed's balance sheet. Meanwhile, just before they announced this increase, they're buying something like $15 billion worth of new liquidity. What's the Fed doing, by the way, by doing all this purchasing right now?
Well, what the Fed is doing right now, actually, is just maintaining the size of the balance sheet. We call it reinvestment, and that effectively ensures that there's not too much tightening going on in the financial system. If the Fed was to just allow the treasuries and the mortgages that it's purchased over the years to roll off of the balance sheet as they mature, then there would effectively be a double tightening in the economy in addition to the interest rate hikes that we've been seeing them push through recently.
No kidding. So this is actually a reasonable thing for them to be doing, you're saying?
The reinvestment has been in place for quite some time. The raising interest rates at this late stage in the cycle, as we've seen evidence that car sales are peaking and that other areas of the economy are beginning to exhibit signs of exhaustion, they've got me scratching their head unless they're being political.
Okay, so in terms of these interest rate increases, what do you think they're going to end up doing as this continues over this year?
Well, the Federal Reserve officials have been very tough in their verbiage. Their message has been very strong that they intend to push through 3 interest rate increases this year. They only do them when there's a press conference that follows, which means that the only 3 windows of opportunities remaining for 2017 arrive in June, September, and December. I think the jury's pretty far out as to whether or not the economy will be able to withstand interest rate increases come fall.
Okay. Well, what's your view? Is this something that we're not going to be able to handle?
I don't think that the economy is going to be strong enough by the time September rolls around, if especially where you are. If you consider the gigantic engine of recovery that has been the automotive industry, in addition to the large portion of consumption that car sales have made up, and the fact that we're literally seeing used car prices crash. Mm-hmm. That's just one sign, I think, that households have become exhausted in trying to bear the weight of, you know, rental prices that have gone crazy and other forms of inflation that aren't picked up by the Federal Reserve that have made getting by really difficult.
Okay, but we've talked to economists here that have said, look, this is historic that we've had rates so low for so long. What's the consequence of that?
Oh, absolutely, it's historic. When I was inside the Fed, I was arguing that they should be raising interest rates 2-3 years ago when the economy was on much stronger footing. It's criminal that they've kept interest rates as low as they have for as long as they have, because in the prior 2 instances, it culminated in the dot-com bubble collapsing and in the housing bubble collapsing. Mm-hmm. So now you have to ask yourself, what are going to be the consequences of having stayed too low for too long and waited too long to come out of the gate and start raising interest rates in this cycle?
And you, having been at the Fed, what is the calculation? Why do they take such a long time to make a move like this?
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to the philosophy of the PhD carrying economists who run the Fed, who they've never had to make a payroll. They don't understand the consequences of low interest rates and the damage that it's done to retirees. And the other part of the equation is that how they measure inflation I've got to stand back in the room with my mother, who's 70 years old and retired, before I can say inflation's running too low, Mom.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not far enough away, she'll slap me. Because you ask any retiree or anybody trying to get by on a fixed income or a paycheck, and they'll tell you that inflation's not too low. But that's what the Fed's broken inflation metrics tell them. So it gives them license to stay too low for too long.
Danielle DiMartino here. Danielle DiMartino Booth here on WILS. Her new book, Fed Up. You say it's too well. First of all, they say it's below the 2% target inflation right now. What's so broken about their matrix? I mean, what are they looking at?
Well, it's below the Fed's core PCE measure. If you look at the most recent consumer price index report that came out, we're running the hottest we have in years. And even at the core, so to speak, if you exclude food and energy prices, which they call volatile, we're still running at 2.2% year over year. The headline's at 2.7%. Again, that's not the inflation metric that they choose, but it happens to be the one that affects us the most closely and that they should be using. And by now, and for months now, they would have been out and raising rates instead of having waited too long using an inflation measure that it doesn't capture what real price inflation is.
Now, having been at the Fed, do they debate that issue on itself? Do you hear a back and forth on that there?
I'm gonna fall back on, you've got to read the book. There's a really hysterical scene where a newbie on the Federal Reserve Board pointed out the fact that, hey, listen, back on planet Earth, none of us use this inflation metric. What's the matter with you people? And basically the answer was, well, our models wouldn't work if we used any other one. So, again, there's a lot of hubris involved with the leadership of the Fed, and we have to step back and ask ourselves if we don't need more human being practitioners on the Fed, fewer PhDs who are willing to stop, look in the mirror, and say, you know, we keep throwing the economy into these boom and bust cycles. Clearly something's wrong here. We're going to have to admit the error of our ways, go back to the drawing board, and come up with a new inflation metric.
So when they do make a mistake, how do they deal with it inside the Fed when they realize, oops, we should have done this a while back?
Denial. Deny, deny, deny.
And that's across the board.
If they weren't denying it, we wouldn't have gotten into the situation that we're in right now with this huge bloated balance sheet and interest rates lower for longer than they've been in the history of mankind.
Okay, but when the votes occur, I mean, how often is it really a close vote on whether or not to increase the interest rate?
Well, it's not a close vote, and I hate to talk in circles. But it's not a close vote because the prior few administrations have made sure that they put a bunch of yes men on the board. So you haven't had dissent in 20 years on the Federal Reserve Board. Now you will hear dissent from the district bank presidents, and they tend to think outside the box. But there are too few of them voting at any given time to make a difference and move the needle. If you can't get the core constituency of permanent voters in Washington, D.C., to agree to disagree.
Danielle DiMartino Booth, her brand-new book is Fed Up. What do you think Janet Yellen's going to be doing moving forward? How is she going to manage the course now?
Well, Janet Yellen seems bound and determined, I'd even say hell-bent, on raising interest rates this year. The verbiage from the most dovish members of the Federal Reserve Board became really hawkish on, 2:30 in the morning, November the 9th, when Wisconsin fell and Donald J. Trump won the election.
Does she want to somehow damage the economy then?
I don't think she would mind seeing the economy go into recession because Trump is going to threaten the stronghold that the academics have had at the Fed for a long time. He's the only person who's far enough off the reservation, God knows he is, to put in people who will say no. So I think it's in Janet Yellen's best interest right now to put the economy into recession, and I think that if she was listening to her own metrics, she would not be raising rates. That's why Neel Kashkari dissented a few days ago.
Right. Well, he was the only
the
one.
New Minneapolis head.
He was the only one, though, right?
He was the only one, but he pointed out the elephant in the room. He said, guys, if it didn't work a few months ago, why does it work now? The data haven't changed.
I mean, do they generally care? Does the Fed care about the state of our country and our prosperity?
I think that they think that they care. But again, these are people with pensions for life. These are people who have not had to suffer the ravages of zero interest rates. And you sit there talking to your retired parents going, well, Mom, Dad, you know, If you're intent on living, then we might have to invest you in some junk bonds, because if you can't get anything at the bank for your savings, then you're just going to have to take your money to Vegas. My point is, the leaders at the Fed don't have to deal with that dilemma, because they're going to get retirement for life. So I'm Italian by birth, and I always eat the sauce and taste it before I serve it at Sunday night dinners. And I have an inherent problem with people who don't have to eat their own cooking.
I don't even know how it works in the Fed. So what's the future for Janet Yellen? Is there a point where she can just get booted out if things go awry?
Her term is up on January the 31st. So the clock is definitely ticking. And I can't foresee Trump reappointing her unless everything with all of his legislative ambitions have completely fallen apart and he absolutely has to have low interest rates so he keeps her on. But I can't see it happening.
Okay, so
he's got three vacancies he can fill, and I think we'll know a lot more about Janet Yellen's replacement after he presents his three nominees to the Senate.
Danielle DiMartino Booth right here on 1320 WILS. Her brand new book tells a lot more about what happens inside the Fed, things you've never heard about before. The book is Fed Up, an insider's take on why the Federal Reserve is bad for America. Fed Up, Danielle DiMartino Booth. Danielle, thanks.
Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Right. And we'll be right back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.